Greetings to all of you. Happy Sabbath. I don't know how many of you noticed that all of the songs today began with or ended in the letter one or number one. Did you notice that? Mr. Washburn coordinated that. Today is the first. So you'll notice it on the last song now because I mentioned it, but all the other ones ended in the number one. And I actually mentioned that because today, July 1st, 2023, is a very important day to me. 2 years ago to the day, July 1st, 2021, was the last time that I spoke with my mother. She died 4 days later, July 5th, very suddenly. And I know many of you have received calls from your mother saying happy birthday. Well, on July 1st, 2021, as she had done for decades before, she called and said happy birthday to me. Only problem with that is my birthday is September 8th. She did not have dementia. She was there at my birth. I know this. And she does remember that September 8th was my birthday. Now, why should she get that wrong? Or did she get it wrong? There was a very specific reason why she told me that. Happy birthday. It was out of respect of someone that I actually look exactly like. My voice is exactly like his. Everything about me is exactly like him, but I never met him. That was my father. My father died before I was old enough to even know him. And he was actually hit from behind by a car. And so very tragic. I grew up without ever meeting this man at all. And yet, I'm exactly like someone to the detail that I never met. Now, he was born on July 1st, and that was actually the day that my mom met him, was July 1st. So it was a special day to her, and she would call me to make sure it was a special day to me, even though it was somebody I had never even met. So I'm going to use her as an inspiration for my message today, because my mom knew hundreds, quite likely thousands of people, really, over the course of her lifetime. And all of them, virtually without exception, that ever knew my mom, remembered one trait, every single person, and it was her dominant trait. By the way, the title of my message is Defining Characteristics. I was going to give that up front, but I'll give it right now. Defining Characteristics, because that was her defining characteristic. And it stood out above everything else, and I'm going to tell you that characteristic in a moment. But first, I want to tell you where I'm going with this message. Everyone, all of you here, all of the people that hear my message later on, have something about them that is a defining characteristic, something that just stands out above all the rest. It could be physical traits. You know, some of us are quite tall. That might be a defining trait that people remember you by that. It could be a personality trait, something about your appearance, your demeanor. Everyone here has a defining trait. And it can be summed up by those people that know them in typically one word like my mom or a phrase. We're going to look at some biblical examples of these defining characteristics. And we're going to look at the relevance of that to us. So just like my mom, these people had defining characteristics. So as we move forward, I want to float in front of you the question to ask yourself, what is my defining characteristic? If you could define yourself, more importantly, if someone else could define you, what would that be? Not the one you give yourself, but the one that others would give you. Ask yourself and be honest. Okay, I promised I would tell you what that quality was that my mom had, what she was known for by every single person that knew her. But I have to tell you something about her life so that that's more relevant. She died at age 89, but from a very early age, she had an extremely difficult childhood. When she was five, her and her brother, her parents divorced. She was born in 1932. So back in the 30s, divorce wasn't near as prevalent as it is now. It was a social taboo, a very rare thing, and it's much more common now. But her and her older brother were raised by her uncles. So from there on, She knew my dad, basically the love of her life, and when she lost him, she had two marriages after that were at best very stressful. Let's just say that. So basically for most of her life, she had extreme difficulties. She had every reason to be bitter, to be unhappy, to be despondent, to be angry. And yet despite all of that, everyone still knew her for one thing. You want to know what that one thing was? It was her smile. So despite the tragedies and struggles that she had, and there were many, she had a smile for everyone all the time, regardless of what she was going through, a lot of difficulties. So again, I'm going to float this in front of you. How would people sum you up in one word? So our journey here is very short, as we all should be aware of, and how we affect others reaches into eternity. So relationships are brief, but they're very important. So my mom, again, touched everyone, every single person that she met. That was her defining characteristic. So let's look now at some defining characteristics in the Bible, all right? And there are many. In fact, the Bible has so many of these situations where they're defining characteristics of people that we're going to have to narrow it down to just a few. And I want to keep it, you know, within a good time frame here. But we're going to start it out in the New Testament, actually, with one of my favorites. And the example we're going to look at is a man who has such a strong defining characteristics, a characteristic that his friends renamed him. They gave him a different name. Go with me to Acts 36. We'll look at this fellow who got renamed because of who he was, his actions. Acts 4:36, and Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles. He was named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement. What a fantastic positive thing for people to say of you, to know you by. Have you ever needed encouragement? I know I have. I've reached out to others with varying results, hoping to receive encouragement. We've all needed it. We've all needed it from time to time, but wouldn't you like to have a friend like Barnabas during those hard times? Wow, wouldn't that just be fantastic to have someone you could pick up the phone and say, look, I need encouragement. How about if people defined us as encouragers? Wouldn't that be great? They called us up for encouragement. Let's look at some other people in the Bible who could be summed up in a very small, short phrase. In fact, I'm going to ask you. Again, we're summing up someone's life, basically their essence, all that they have done, who they are in one short description. I'm going to say the nickname. I want you to tell me who it is. A man after God's own heart. Everyone knows it. This is... of all the things he did, and we read a lot about his life, he had his difficulties, he had his strengths, but he was known as a man after God's own heart. Let's look at this example. 1 Samuel 13, we're going to look at verse 14. And I want to make a note here that this is chapter 13, because something very important comes after chapter 13. 1 Samuel 13 and verse 14. This is Samuel talking to King Saul, who didn't quite pan out the way that they had hoped. And so he said to him, but now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart. And the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. So here we see in chapter 13 the definition, or what we all know here so many thousands of years later, as his defining characteristic And we see it mentioned here. Let's go farther into Samuel. And we're going to go to chapter 16. By the way, David's name means beloved. As we have a couple of Davids here, you probably know that. And he was beloved for this very trait. He was a man after God's own heart. For chapter 16, we're going to pick it up in verse 11. Let me get to it. Let's see. Oh, I see. Here we go. Thank you for bearing with me here. In verse 11, and Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all the young men here?" Then he said, "There remains yet the youngest, and there he is," meaning he's off keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here. So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy with bright eyes and good looking, and the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is the one." Verse 13, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went back to Ramah. So, do you notice what happened here in the sequence? He was a man after God's own heart before chapter 16 came along, before the anointing. He had a nature already of loving God. And that's why God chose him for this purpose and anointed him. He had shown himself his defining characteristics. In fact, let's look at some of those defining characteristics that he had. Let's go to chapter, let's see. We're going to look at chapter 16 and 16 through 18. So let's page over here, I think. I'll be getting down here. "Let our master now command your servants who are before you to seek out a man." This is when Saul was having the difficulties, right? He was plagued by a bad spirit, who was a skillful player. So here's one of the attributes that he had. He was a skillful musician. Skillful player on the harp, and it shall be that he will play, and with his hand, when the distressing spirit from God is upon you, you shall be well. So Saul said to his servants, "Provide me now a man who can play well and bring him to me." Verse 18. Then one of the servants answered and said, "Look, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, who is skillful in playing." In other words, he's a good musician. This is one of his attributes. "A mighty man of valor. He had courage, as we know when he slayed the giant. A man of war, prudent in speech, and a handsome person. And the Lord is with him." So these are attributes that other people would notice David by. Our actions define us, not our thoughts or our wishes. It's our actions. And we're here for a very short time. So let's look at some other examples of people who made decisions, acted on those decisions, and then became known by their actions. And in these cases, many cases, they've affected millions of people, even nations. Let's look at a defining characteristic, because we have to throw it in there, that is negative. And it's actually right here in 1 Samuel. Let's go to chapter 25 of 1 Samuel. We'll look at a negative characteristic that is spoken of by the person that actually knew him the best. 25 verse 3. The name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail, and she was a woman of good understanding and beautiful appearance. But the man was harsh and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb. So he was known as a harsh and evil man. Let's go to verse 17. Same chapter, verse 17. "Now therefore, no one consider what you will do, for harm is determined against our master, against all his household, for he is such a scoundrel." These are what his whole household knows him to be, as a scoundrel. And I have the New King James here. "For he is such a scoundrel that no one can speak to him." One cannot speak to him. Verse 25, here kind of is the crux of it. Please let my Lord regard this scoundrel, this is Abigail, Nabal, for he, as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. His name means fool, folly. But I, your maidservant, did not see the young man of my Lord whom you sent. So she, as we know the story, she diffused an otherwise potentially dramatic, unhappy experience for the rest of the household. So, but she was the one that knew him best. This is how the person closest to him and all that knew him would define him. This was his defining characteristics. So I got another one for you. Who does God call a righteous man perfect in his generations? Thank you. Whoever said that. Let's go to that thing. We'll read that. Let's go to that. Let's see. Genesis 32:28. We'll read about this person that we're all related to distantly, who God called a righteous man. Genesis 6? Genesis 6, verse 9. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man. What a good thing to be known for. What a fantastic defining characteristic. Noah was a just man. Perfect in his generations, Noah walked with God. Fantastic. Wouldn't that be nice if someone could say that about us? Chapter 7, Genesis, verse 1. Then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, and you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. So this was Noah's defining characteristic and potentially was a huge important role in God saving the world, was this attribute that Noah had. What about sons of thunder? Defining characteristics, right? James and John, let's go to look at that then. Mark 3. Look at some more defining characteristics of these individuals. Something that we have heard over and over about them. Mark 3:17. James, the son of Zebedee, and John, James and John, the brother of James, to whom he gave the name Boanerges, that is, and it's, I believe it's Chaldean, that's this particular name, but it means sons of thunder. And in its original translation, it's sons of commotion. Not necessarily positive. It was considered back then to be an epithet, actually. So thousands of years later, we know when we hear sons of thunder who we're talking about. Now, the next thing I want to say is that names can be changed. And we're going to look at a few of those. Just like Joseph's, right? Joseph became Barnabas because of things that he did, his actions, son of encouragement. We're going to look at some Bible names that have changed. And they reflected their defining characteristics. So let's look first at a man whose name means supplanter. We're going to look at Genesis 32. We're going to go back to Genesis. His name meant supplanter, but it got changed. It got changed. Genesis 32:28. I actually started in 27, and he said to him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. And then he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, which meant supplanter, but Israel. For you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. So his name, Israel, means, it's interpreted different ways, struggles with God, contends, wrestled with God, or having power with God based on an action. We all know about the wrestling match that happened. This was an action, and after this action, his defining characteristic that we knew him from after that was based on that action of his. So his grandfather had his name changed, right? Abram's name meant high father. Later on, it became the father of a multitude. Abraham, of course. And his grandmother, Sarai, meant princess. Afterward, she became the mother of nations when her name was changed to Sarah. Both, of course, are found in Genesis 17. We don't have to go there. But I want to look now at one of the most famous name changes in the Bible, and it's a man whose characteristics were actually very negative. And I want to use it as inspiration that things do change. You know, you can, through your actions, you can find yourself in a different place where you're known differently than what you used to be known as. Because this individual, his characteristics were actually very negative. But they became very positive. He was known for his brutal persecution of the followers of Christ. And this was a characteristic that made him very feared by many people. And we read this in Acts 22. We're not going to go there through all of it. We know how it happened. But people can change with God's help, like Saul did. Even when it seems completely impossible to change. For an individual like Saul, it would have seemed completely impossible. Saul's name, by the way, means asked for or prayed for. That's what his name meant. But at the time, he was a persecutor of the brethren, and he became Paul. Do you know what Paul stands for? It stands for small or humble, it means small or humble. So much better for someone to do the work of God to be known as humble than, you know, what he was before that. So he's very, obviously very influential in the early years there of the church. So another famous name change in the Bible is a man whose name meant God has heard. That was the meaning of his name, God has heard. And we're going to look at this famous name change. We will turn there. John 1:42. God has heard. We're going to actually look at this individual in two different gospel accounts. But John 1:42, and he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated a stone. Let's look at another version of Matthew 16. Same basic event, but it's Christ talking to him. Matthew 16 and verses 16 to 18. And Simon Peter answered and said, verse 16, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter," or Cephas, it's different languages. "And on this rock," that is the meaning of his name. Peter means the rock. "On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." So his name changed. And it was through, really, the Holy Spirit that revealed this to him when he gave an answer to Christ. Christ wanted to be sure that the foundation moving forward was based on someone that knew that he was God in the flesh. Okay. So these were all name changes that were given to people, mostly given to them by God, except for Barnabas. These were all based on events, actions that took place during their very brief sojourn on planet Earth. We need to remember that our days are like the grass, right? We're told that in Psalms. And what we do and who we are will determine our defining characteristic. Not what we think about or dream about, it's what we actually do. And ultimately, like these people that we read about here, we will become our new name. And this will actually happen on a very, very large, unimaginably large scale. And let's look at that. Revelation 3, verse 12. We read about some name changes. But these name changes are going to happen on a much larger scale. Revelation 3, verse 12. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. And he shall go out no more, and I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem which comes down out of heaven from my God. And here we go. And I will write on him my new name. He who overcomes, that's us. We're all going to get new names. Now, as I mentioned near the beginning of my message, everyone has a defining characteristic. That if someone else were to be asked, what stands out the most when you think of this person, what would it be? Now, it could be physical traits. Again, it could be appearance or demeanor. It could be a personality trait. But everyone here, and again, who hears this message, is someone who deals with other people. And you can be summed up by those around you, and you can look around and think of how you would define the people that you meet. How would you define them if you were to shrink it down? So, once again, I'm going to say, ask yourself, what is your defining characteristic? Not the one you'd give yourself, but the one that others would give you. Remember, the hardest person to be honest with is always ourself. Always. So my wife said, I told her my subject here a week or two ago, and she suggested that I give you homework. And when she told me what the homework would be, I'm a little reticent to give it to you as homework. And I'm gonna just throw it out there. It could cause arguments or resentments. I don't know. But ask your spouse. Ask someone close to you, what do you consider my defining characteristic? If you dare. I mean, you know, it might be different than what you would say, this is my defining character. Last night, I actually asked my wife, yesterday, I said, since she had given this as a homework, I said, well, what's my defining characteristic? And she told me. And fortunately for me, it lined up with what I would have named myself. It wasn't something dramatically different. So, anyway, let's see. So if it's something you don't like, as long as you're still alive, you can change that. You can change it, right? As long as you're breathing air, you can change that defining characteristic. So just like Saul did, became Paul. So it starts with something small, like your thoughts. And you remember the whole, and I love this way of looking at it. You change your thoughts, you'll change your actions. You change your actions, you'll change your character. You change your character, you'll change your destiny. So that's kind of where this whole defining characteristics subject is moving, that you can change your destiny by changing those characteristics that are a result of your thoughts. And just as with Saul being changed to Paul, we must be small and humble in our own eyes. So when I was in Germany in the 80s, I had a friend tell me once that I smiled too much. Now, I mean, I had never heard that before. I didn't even know there was such a thing. But I was smiling because I loved life, and I love people, I love life. And I took this input. He didn't mean it as a positive thing. He thought, well, you need to curb it back, pull it back, don't. So I took it, and I think he kind of meant it as a discouragement, but I took it as a very high compliment. And years later, you know, I thought, well, clearly I'm my mom's son, you know, that, you know, if I could always have a smile like she did, well, that's all the better, you know. So I took it with a grain of salt, and it didn't slow me down. I still enjoyed all my time and had a big grin on my face for the most part. But we all have an effect on people, and they would all be able to define us again in a small number of words. Ask yourself the question, what would that be? Would it be, say, according to the fruits of the Spirit that we find in Galatians 5:22? Would those be traits that would someone could look at us and say, oh yeah, well. Or would it be what comes before Galatians 5:22? Because there's all the negatives listed before there. You know, we certainly wouldn't want to fit into that category. So, would it be your generous smile that was given freely to all? Ask yourself and be honest, the hour is getting late.